Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
Here's a great example of, again, how parents are losing their minds. A dad is facing charges after he kept calling his son's school to complain that they were giving his kid too much homework. But what really upset him the most was his son and all this homework was getting in the way of them hanging out.
Right.
Okay, now if a kid is getting that much homework, that means he's probably a teenager. He doesn't want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
He can barely tolerate the sight of you.
I mean, times have changed now because, you know, the work just basically comes in an email.
Mm.
I see sometimes the kids have lots of it and they're good. Told they didn't have time to complete it in class, but for the most part, it's done in class anyway.
Yeah.
I give this father credit for knowing which school his kid goes to.
Yeah, I guess.
Cause that would top some dads. I have to pick up Christian today. He has an appointment in the afternoon and I had to ask him again yesterday, like what time's your lunch? What time's your recess? I have no idea.
Well, at least you know the school. My parents didn't even know what school I attended. I mean, we've gone on and on and on about this. Parents are just you're just way too involved in your kids' lives. They need room to breathe on their own.
Mm.
And we baby the hell out of them. It's all too much.
Yeah. And like we said yesterday, it's, I think social media plays a big factor in a lot of it, because we see others who are, you know, seem to be really involved and show moments of happiness with their kids. Mm. And think, oh, maybe I should be doing that.
I just don't understand. I mean, protecting your children, of course, making sure they're safe, all of that. That was always, I guess, some part of the parenting structure I remember as a kid and also as we raised our kids.
We had block parents and stuff like that. So yeah, they were obviously,
there was stuff going on.
There were people looking out for certain types of things.
But there was just, I don't know. There was a separation. Parents gave their kids kind of the general rules of life. Don't get in a van with a stranger and don't do this and don't do that.
Right.
And then we were just kind of let loose. And I knew that my parents loved me and I knew that they needed to, that they would, you know, shelter me and feed me and clothe me. But outside of that, I was on my own. I was up to my own devices. I don't know why every parent has to be now a social director. Has to be so wrapped up. Like, I remember being like 6 and 7 and just being allowed to go play with my friends.
Yeah.
Out on the street, doing things, riding my bike. It's just not allowed anymore.
There have been some changes, Craig. Like, honestly, in the time from when we were kids till now.
What's changed?
Well,
tell me what's changed.
One, the reporting of things.
Okay.
And that has put fear into so many parents.
Okay. Unrealistic
unrealistic fear. Or not. Yes, you were afraid of, your parents might have been afraid of a white van, but there was one of them and they heard about one story.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there are databases of sexual predators in your neighborhoods,
right.
And there are stories constantly bombarded because we not only just hear the news every half hour on this station, but we've got it threading to our phones about child abductions or whatever it may be. And there's a culture of fear that happens, and is more relevant or at least prevalent now. Also, there are a lot of just, you know, bad seeds out there. While there might have been before, you know, hanging out at the mall was probably something you did
on
a regular
12 or
right.
13 years old.
Yeah. The amount of, muggings and street level robberies and that leads to, I mean, I wouldn't send my kids to Yorkdale, or Scarborough Town Center unsupervised at this point, because there are a lot of muggings and street level robberies that happen. Kids are wearing more expensive shoes or they've got a cell phone on them all the time. And we've had friends who have had their kids mugged at the mall. And it's groups
You've
of teams.
You've actually heard this story.
I've actually had teammates of Evan's who have been robbed of their possessions at the mall. And more stories like that are happening. So, that's word of mouth that we heard that. But you also see it. There's reporting of it all the time through things like social media, right? And it just raises the alert factor for parents so much more than it may have been before.
I've shared this stat with you before, and I'll share it again. When it comes to child abductions, first and almost always, it doesn't happen just at the mall in a white van. It happens with your uncle,
right,
who takes your kid.
And I'm not, as a parent, I'm not concerned so much about my kid getting abducted all the time, but I am concerned about him getting robbed or mugged with weapons at a mall. And so I have to at some point be aware of that, and to each their own, where how they choose to deal with it, in terms of preparing their kids for it. But for many parents, it's part of it is to help either insulate them from that situation or be near them should there be a problem.
Well, look, and I remember there was some stories, I can't remember how long ago it was, where there was like a rampage of kids having their shoes stolen. It was up in Barrie, I remember, and it was on the news probably in the 90s, and maybe it was around the time of like Jordan's Nikes or something
right.
was on the scene. But I would always say to my kids, if you're going somewhere, downplay things. You don't need to wear those shoes, or, well, they didn't have cell phones. But if your kid has a $700 pair of running shoes, maybe they shouldn't be walking around the OC in them.
Right. I'm perhaps, and mine don't, but I mean, yeah, they all have a cell phone on them that's worth, you know, between $500 and $1,000. Mm. And that's just the reality of it now.
I guess it is. I believe a lot of it is way overblown. I believe there is too much. I've seen it within my own family. Just the constant panic over the kids.
But so here's forget the kids for a second. We had a conversation the other day. We were talking about stolen vehicles, mm-hmm. right? Because the number of car thefts in the city is a car every 40 minutes last right. year was being stolen. And your answer to that was, don't drive a nice car.
Yeah.
So we have to all change our lifestyles now because of crime?
Look at Lucky, you've got two vehicles in your house that are worth more than most people's homes at one point.
Right.
You know, do you need, for the amount of,
no, okay, you hockey, don't need do it, but need why, should, these, do I, like why should I have to adjust?
$170,000 worth of vehicles.
Why should people
driving?
Have to adjust their lifestyles based on, you know, the threat of crime being out there? Isn't that just like being a helicopter parent where it's like, oh my God, I don't want to have nice things because it might get stolen?
Well, no, I would say that I would be realistic and go, well, okay, I see that this particular vehicle is being stolen a lot.
Right.
So I'm not going to buy that one, or I'm going to buy one that's a couple of few years old.
Well, you're going to pay more insurance. You buy a Lexus or Toyota or Honda vehicles now, which are often the highest theft rates.
Yeah.
You're going to pay higher insurance for it. But the crap part of it is that we all pay higher insurance as a result of
sure.
all of this stuff.
My rates have all gone up.
Everybody's rates go up because all of this is happening.
Yeah. I you and I have had the argument too about buying new or buying used, and you get Lee. You're going to buy what you're going to buy, and you're going to drive what you're going to drive. I don't get it. I don't understand it, but it is what it is. And I don't have a ton of sympathy. I got family who had two vehicles stolen out of their driveway. Two of them.
Yeah.
The first one got stolen. They went and got a replica, the same vehicle. Moron. Get a different car. Then it got stolen as well. Think this through. There's a lot of varieties of cars.
Hmm.
Anyhow, your kids will be fine once they're allowed out of the bubble. How do they breathe?
CPAP machines.
Guy in Thailand had to be hospitalized after he put 11 penis rings on his junk.
Pardon me? 11?
Yeah, I stick at 10. I max out at 10. That's my rule.
Let's be honest. You know, it's maxed out for a different reason.
He left you if I could get two on that mushroom.
Why?
I don't know. Because people are insane, Lucky. We're just nuts. Jenny McCarthy was speaking about her time at the Playboy Mansion. And she said there was so much sex going on with gross celebrities in the grotto. And it was just all ugly old dudes with hot young women.
Oh, haven't we heard stories of like that grotto they had to clean constantly?
Mm-hmm. For every 20 guys, there was like one girl. So the guys were just like in heaven, but also the guys were all over 70. She said it was Viagra Central. No, she was hanging out there. Yeah. If you watch the documentary about the Playboy Mansion and the history of what was his name who ran it? Who was the guy who ran
it? Hugh Hefner?
Hugh Hefner. Thank you. You know, for all his claims that he was about the sexual liberation and women's rights, he was an absolute scumbag.
Oh, man. Like, was there a doubt?
Well, I don't know. He certainly, I mean.
He's celebrating the female forum and all that crap.
All that stuff he was selling. Yeah. Yeah. But, boy, the women just got treated absolutely horrible at the mansion during the, I guess, 60s and 70s and beyond. There is a new James Bond, supposedly.
I've heard rumors, rumblings of this. Yes.
A guy named Aaron Taylor Johnson. I was going with Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah, rumors have it he's been offered the gig, although they won't announce it until it's all signed and T's crossed, I's dotted and such. The fan favorite was Idris Elba to take that over, which would have been a really interesting choice, but he's a bit older, so.
There was also talk at one point, wasn't there, of a woman becoming like a Janice Bond or something.
Yeah, they had talked about that too.
Supposedly this guy has accepted the role. Or will accept it later this week. When he was recently asked about playing 007, he said, I find it charming and wonderful that people see me in that role. I take it as a great compliment. I think you should.
Right.
He was in Kick-Ass, Bullet Train, and Avengers Age of Ultron. He's very young looking.
It's just a ton of pressure, obviously, taking on that gig, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's I'm sure a dream role for so many, but just a lot of pressure. You know, do you want to be the Connery or you know, the Daniel Craig, the lasting Bond? You don't want to be the one-offs or the Timothy Daltons, the laughed-upon ones.
Yeah. How many Bond books were written? I'm assuming now we're way past Bond books.
And the these Flemings.
Are all just, yeah, these are all just made-up stories now. But it carries on and it does very well, but my gosh, isn't it kind of just whipping the same pony over and over and over again?
Well, there's less whipping of the ponies. You know, I think they're starting to work some of that out of it, but it's more just an action film.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, I think, Christopher Nolan perhaps directing, who just directed Oppenheimer, and of course he did a Batman, which was rave, so it could be interesting.
That means if it's Christopher Nolan, the new James Bond movies will be 6.5 hours long.
That's right. And it's why they rumored Cillian Murphy to be perhaps a Bond candidate, which, you know, I just don't see.
No. Kate Winslet gave an R-rated reading of a parenting book. There has, and I think, Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, the Go the F to Sleep?
Yeah, Go the F to Sleep. Well, I guess there's been three of them now. The book is called F, Now There Are Two of You. It's the third book in the Go the F to Sleep series.
Oh, fantastic.
And as you can probably guess, it's about two parents who are figuring out how difficult it is to raise two kids. Or as the book says, two is a million more kids than one. They're not wrong. Well, this dude needs probably a little time on a therapist's couch. A man got busted last month after allegedly getting frisky and going all the way with some produce.
Produce?
Yeah. Well, more than just produce, products as well. He was getting into the baked goods as well. He was getting busy with the fruits, the veggies, and the baked goods.
At home?
No, in the grocery store. He was shoving his eggplant in the peaches. And it's disgusting for a variety of reasons, because many of these items weren't sealed.
Right.
You know, we get upset when we see somebody else touching too many of the product. And if you're rubbing your junk into them, that's a problem. I'm moving along to another grocery store.
Yeah. He thought you just feeling out cantaloupe was awkward.
Yeah. Police nabbed him, not in the grocery store, but after he was seen pleasuring himself outside of numerous coffee shops and businesses.
Wow.
So this guy's just getting busy constantly.
Frisky.
Yes, he is frisky. He's facing a slew of charges. When they arrested him, they also went to his house. They searched his stuff, and they found video evidence of his vile supermarket obsession. So he would also record himself.
He was recording.
Yes. Make it a film.
Why?
Is this for
others to watch?
There is a lot of why questions.
Is there an OnlyFans element to this? Man,
there might be. Oh. I don't know.
I mean, at least the baked goods are a little further away from the door. But
yeah.
Generally, produce is right there. There's no hiding in the produce section.
If I was going to hump any food item, it's got to be hell of a good dip. For Wild Fork in Whitby, look who joins us. Ted Reeder, godfather of the grill, and my bodyguard.
What?
Yes. He's the defender of my honor, our Ted Reeder. I got a message yesterday.
Is he a bodyguard or a chastity belt? Because he's defending your balls, what I hear.
Yes, he is defending my balls. Teddy!
Yeah. I tell you, I was on with yesterday afternoon with, what's his name again?
Christian Pritchard.
No, Doug, I remembered. It was Christian I was forgetting, because he was so mean to you yesterday. I mean, he was really talking trash on you.
What was he saying?
And, he just doesn't think you're capable.
Wow. A shock.
And, that's the problem. And it is a competition of balls. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know who's got bigger balls, you or Christian.
Well, I will say this. I will say this, Ted. And off the top of my head, I can't remember specific names or moments. But there have been, if you look at the history of, say, sports, there have been two boxers who have gone into a ring, and there's a belief that the one guy is just going to pummel the other guy. And the underling all of a sudden surprises, or in a, say, a NHL playoff situation where you're sure that the one team is going to take this in four straight and the other ones drag it to seven and you're shocked. I am that shock.
you are the underdog.
Yes.
And, you know what? I'm going to take it upon myself to defend your honor.
Thank you.
And from behind the scenes, because I'm not a judge. I'm just hosting with Doug Elliott there. We're going to chat it up and make some fun and have a good time and raise some funds. And, but your honor does need defending, because Christian was just, he was bashing you, man, bashing you hard. So we've got a week away, and you've got to get into some serious training here on the meatball front.
Okay. What do I got to do?
Well, I'm going to review your recipe, which you sent me, and I'm going to have a look at it. And I'm going to try and put it into some sense of order and understanding, because right now nobody could understand that recipe. One, it's half in Italian, so I haven't got a clue as to what it's saying there.
It is known as recipe, so a lot of it is a pinch of this, a handful of that, right? Yeah.
That's exactly right. And I've when you cook anything and I've made these meatballs hundreds of times probably in the 30 plus years I've been with Maria. So you do get to a stage where you just kind of know what needs to go in and how much just by glancing. But, yes, you are helping me to get this from like 20 meatballs to like 150 meatballs or whatever we got to make.
That's true, and we need to scale that recipe up, and I think that you've made it 1,000 times. You know, Christian, the other day, I was talking to him about this, and he said, and this was off air, but he said to me, he says, yeah, you know, when I'm in the middle of getting things going, if Craig needs a hand, I'll go over and give him a hand in his station. And I kind of looked at him, I said, you know, Christian, you're in a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to get it together and focus on your own meatballs, not what Craig is doing and helping Craig. This is a competition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Craig's going to take it very seriously. And
do or Christian, die.
Yeah, it's like it's do or die, man. You got to put it in and dig deep. And I have the faith in you that you're going to make an outstanding meatball. I don't doubt that Christian's going to make a great meatball, too. I know he's quite capable. And so you do have stiff competition. I've seen Christian in competition before. I've thrown some curveballs at him in those competitions. And so, you know, Craigie, I got your back, man. I got your back.
Well, I agree. There should be no more crossing of swords and balls in the kitchen between these two. The Great Meatball Off, by the way, is happening next Thursday, March 28th at the Bond Street Event Center in Oshawa. We have tickets at the rock.fm. You can purchase yours there. You get dinner, and a donation goes to the Feed the Need in Durham as well. So, Teddy, you and I will be up on stage as a part of this. We got celebrity chef judges, including Massimo Capra and Andrea Nicholson. Double the Pleasure will play the after party mm-hmm. for all of this too. So there's a lot more involved, but more importantly, Craigie's got to get ready for this big underdog matchup. He's styling it as a Mike Tyson Buster Douglas
right.
type situation, although he reminds me more of Butterbean when getting into the ring. We'll have to see how it all ends up.
And plus, I don't know why Christian Ted would say to you that if I need some help, the last thing I want is his hands around my balls.
Shreddy, shreddy, shreddy balls.
I know,
I'm telling you right now.
I've got the godfather of the grill. I've got Ted Reeder in my corner. That's all I need. So when I come in, you know, like when, what's his name, in Rocky. When he was talking to him, the old guy.
Mick? He's Mick?
You're my Mick, like in Rocky, and I say, cut me, Teddy, and you cut me, and I get back in there.
Oh, I plan on cutting you,
Ted,
boy. I'm bringing a machete.
Yeah.
And there's no crying in meatballs, okay, Gregor? There's no crying in meatballs.
No, sir, there will not be. I am very, very confident once I get your recipe upgrade from my scribble and scratch that we will go into that kitchen a guns a blazing. Teddy, if people want to talk
to you. Well, I'm not going in that kitchen to help you, boy. You're all on your own that way. I'll be coaching.
Uh-oh.
There's no fingers in this. It's a one-on-one. It's Uh-oh. You against him. So rules will be there, but I will be in your corner to give you encouragement and abuse all at the same time.
I was going to say, do you think you can go all evening just being kind to me? I've never known Ted Reeder to be kind for more than a few minutes at a time. All right, Teddy, if people want to get a hold of you to talk grilling, how do they do it, my friend?
You're going to find me at Ted Grills.
The Netherlands set up a fake communist political party in the 1960s. To help them spy on China.
Okay.
I don't know why the Netherlands felt they had to spy on China.
Right, yeah.
Winnie the Pooh was named after a real bear named Winnie at the London Zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, I'm sure it liked honey.
But she was female.
Okay.
Wasn't a male bear.
Right.
As it is in the book. There was a British remake. And why couldn't they put pants on Pooh?
Yeah.
You know, poor guy walking around just in a red shirt.
Yeah, well, that's why he got canceled.
I guess so, yeah.
If you're walking around with no pants now.
And that 100-acre wood, I don't know. There was a lot going on in there.
Well, it's 100 acres.
Yeah, but, the donkey was depressed. The other things jumping around all hyped up on speed or something. I don't know what was going on in that 100-acre wood, but it wasn't good. There was a British remake of the 70s show called Days Like These. It was almost identical to the American version, actually even word for word, but it was canceled.
Really?
Yeah, but it was canceled after 6 episodes Meanwhile, this side of the pond, the 70s show lasted 200 episodes.
Was Red a little too risque?
Perhaps, maybe. But I guess Britain, kind of like Netflix, where they don't let shows go on forever, they shut things down. Like the American Office was a remake of the Ricky Gervais British show that only had 14 episodes. It's kind of like when you look back to John Cleese and Fawlty Towers. Like there was only, I think, like a dozen episodes of that. They don't let it drag on and on and on.
But what is the one that was just gone on for like ever?
Oh, Coronation Street. Yeah, that one's an exception, I guess.
62 seasons.
Has Coronation Street been on?
1960.
I'm going to start binging it.
How long does it take?
I'll be dead before I get through it all. I remember my mom watching it. The most expensive cheese in the world is made from a rare breed of donkey milk in Siberia. It's called pull cheese.
Because that's how you get it out of the donkey.
I guess so. Poor donkey. What is the donkey getting?
Maybe
here?
That's the same depressed donkey from 100 Acre Woods. That's why he's depressed.
That's exactly it. Poor donkey.
Once is enough. More than that, it's depressing.
It cost this cheese $1,100 a pound.
Holy cow.
I'll stick with Kraft slices. Thank you very much.
I'd balk at a brick for $8.
Oh, yeah. I know. Jesus. You go into the specialty cheese section at the grocery store. It's like, hey, this is a...
I don't go there. I just go to other people's charcuterie boards and take care of that.
Hey, this thumbnail of cheese for $18 seems reasonably priced. One of the crew members who died on the Titanic was named Joseph Dawson.
Oh.
And his tombstone says J. Dawson.
No way.
But James Cameron did not know about him when he picked Jack Dawson as the name for Leo's character in Titanic.
Really?
And ever since his death, Joseph Dawson's grave gets a lot more visits and flowers. He's buried here in Canada.
Really? People go visit?
I guess.
A random grave site because it's Titanic?
Yeah, I guess so. Whew. Yeah. Half of the gold that's ever been found on Earth comes from South Africa.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of mining there. Not all safe mining.
No. The tradition of bridesmaids all wearing the same dress goes back to ancient Rome. They all dressed back then the same as the bride.
Wow. They all had togas on.
Yeah. To confuse any evil spirits that showed up at the wedding to snatch them away.
Really? But then somewhere it changed because the bride wears the white and then the other bridesmaids wear the same color.
Meanwhile, every father of a daughter knows the evil spirit is the man who's marrying his daughter who's going to do horrifically horrible things to her that night. My father-in-law, I never met him. He passed away when the lovely Maria was quite young. But I always thought that it would be something terrible to do, but kind of funny, where if you, as you were walking out of the church, you just looked at your father-in-law and said, I am your worst.
Yes, that would be evil. Although he would just respond, I know.
We should be grateful every day, lucky that we have sons. There was a photo, I think, on, I want to say on X, where a photo is taken behind a bride and groom standing at the altar. And at one point he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a piece of paper and he puts it back on his back so everybody in the church can see it. And it says, get me out of this.
Wow.
Yeah, you gotta have fun day of. The song You're the Best from Karate Kid. Was originally written for Rocky III, but they went with Eye of the Tiger instead.
Really?
Yeah.
Both great for the moment in the movie.
Yep, for sure.
Actually, when I was in Philadelphia on the steps, there are people with like speakers going up the steps who are playing Eye of the Tiger as they're doing it.
You know, it's funny. So when we golf, I'll bring my my speaker and I'll be looking for some sort of playlist or something. And I started going to soundtracks because I thought, okay, get a great mix of music and all sorts of different stuff. But it is interesting how effective a particular song is on a moment in a movie. You know, like you take Goodfellas, right? Eric Clapton's and
Layla,
when they're going through and finding everybody dead in the vans.
Yep.
And yet, when you're just kind of on a golf course and it's playing, like, I've heard Layla a thousand times.
I find it interesting because you'll... If there's a song in a movie that strikes you and you wait till the end to see all the songs in it, I find it shocking how many songs are in the movie that you didn't even recognize were in there.
That's right. Because a lot of times you're just getting a little snippet right? of it. But you know, you're right. No, it's interesting. There aren't just blue collar and white collar works, collar workers. There's also a red and green. And supposedly green is for people that work in the environment.
Okay.
And red is for people that work in government. I don't know that that's true here in Canada. I don't think I've ever seen that, but I guess it's a thing somewhere.
Right. Well, I don't think they actually wear red collars.
No. Well, how would we know they're hardly ever?
Well, they're hardly ever in there.
That's right.
And it is true because they just put us in the red. Guess it fits.
And now that Mulroney has passed, they'll be taking, 6 months off to grieve him?
To mourn, yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I just saw recently a flag, because all of them are half mast, I guess. I'm sure in salute of Brian Mulroney, but there's one near us that's at full mast.
Oh.
I see. Is somebody sending a message?
Must be liberals.
Yeah, those damn lefties. And 1 gram of your poop. 1 gram of your poop. Not just yours, everybody's.
Okay.
Has 100 billion bacteria in it.
Ooh.
And 100 million viruses and other organisms too.
Hmm.
So today, if you have to drop off a sample of your stool,
a gram?
You should, thank the people who are inspecting your poop. Because they're doing a dirty, dirty job.
Rock Mornings with Craig Venn and Lucky. 94.9 The Rock.